So, welcome, Bart.
Thank you. My topic is overcoming fear, you know, and we have to use our minds, you know, to overcome fear, the renewed mind. I was reading the Bible and I was looking at Genesis chapter 1. You can go there for just a minute. Genesis chapter 1. You realize that before the fall, Adam and Eve had no fear whatsoever. None. They had no fear. And I'm going to show you why. In Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And then in verse 28 it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have," again, "dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Why Adam and Eve had no fear of anything was because God gave them dominion over everything. And there was no such thing as lions and tigers and bears. Oh my! You know, that's from Kansas, you know, Wizard of Oz. But they weren't afraid of anything because God gave them dominion over everything. But as you know, they lost the dominion when they disobeyed God in Genesis chapter 3. That's one of the things that they lost. And then one of the very first things you read about after the fall is that fear came in. You know, you can look at that in just Genesis. Genesis 3:10, right after the fall, in verse 9 it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." So one of the first immediate consequences of the fall was fear, you know, entered into the world. But the thing that blessed me the most is that Adam and Eve, they lost their dominion, but God our Father didn't lose his. You know, God is, it didn't affect God's power or anything one bit. And God didn't lose his, you know, dominion. Man did, but not God. So here's the nuts and bolts of my teaching, okay? To overcome fear, you know, we need to build our faith, our confidence, our trust in God. You know, it's his ability, it's his power, it's his love for us, it's his willingness to supply our need. That's what we want to build, you know, in our own hearts. It's not your strength, it's not your smarts, it's not your anything. What, you know, the many times in the Bible says that man is grass. You know, how powerful is grass? You know, not very powerful. But what gives us strength and courage is having faith in God, confidence and trust in God. And you get that by putting his word on, you know, in your mind. Okay. You know, our default, the way we normally operate in life, is to put our confidence and our trust and our faith in our abilities, you know, our smarts, our strength, or whatever. But that's the default. And that's why fear enters into people's hearts, you know, because after a while you realize you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you know, you're not rich enough, you know, to survive. But when we put our confidence and trust in God, and we know that He loves us and He knows that He's with us all the time, you know, it's going to give us strength and courage. I was talking to a friend of mine, Dan Gagnon, you know, I was telling him, you know, I'm going to do a 45-minute teaching on overcoming fear. And he goes, oh, well, that's really simple. You know, he says, he told me how he does it. You know, he said, you know, he's a believer. He's a good believer. And he says, I've gotten into astronomy. You know, he's doing a lot of astronomy now. He's studying astronomy. And he says, when I do that, and I think of God as the creator, and I see how big everything is and how amazing it is, you know, it just gives me a lot of comfort. And then on top of that, to know that God loves me, and He's got all this tremendous creative power and ability, He says it just takes all the fear, you know, out of my heart. So that's a suggestion. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Let me find it. Right after Deuteronomy. This is my wife's favorite verse. You know, when we're living our lives and we're doing our things, and you know, I start getting my knickers in a twist. I don't know exactly what that means, but you got the idea, right? But she nails me with this verse every time. It's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This is God's word to Joshua as he's getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And he says, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." And the reason why it says, "For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go." She's constantly reminding me of that, you know. So that we don't have to be afraid because God is with us, you know, wherever we go. That's what you put in your mind, you know, you got to remember that. Now, on the flip side, if you go to John always likes to talk about the other side of the coin. There's another side of the coin. What if you don't believe God is with you? In Joshua chapter 2, it goes on, but there's this record where this wonderful believer named Rahab received a couple of these spies that came over from Israel. They were spying out the land. And this is the flip side of it. It says in Joshua chapter 2, and this is what she's telling these two spies. It says, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." And verse 11 is great. It says, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you Why? For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You know, it's just a powerful record. You know, they had strength and courage because God was on their side. And these people, God wasn't going to be on their side. And their hearts just melted. No courage, nothing. And we don't want to be like that, you know. We want to know that God is on our side, that he is with us, that he loves us. And then, you know, we can have tremendous courage. My favorite verse on this subject in the whole Bible is Isaiah 41:10. Let me take you there. Isaiah 41:10. If you like to memorize scripture, this is a really good one. It says in Isaiah 41:10, excuse me, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Isn't that great? That's our God. He says, don't be afraid. He gives you four good reasons. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you. You know, that's what you put in your mind, you know, when you start to get your knickers in a twist or whatever. I want to share a quick thing with you. How many of you like, I saw this movie this past year that I really liked. It's called Hacksaw Ridge. Mm-hmm. How many of you guys have seen that? Okay, most of you have. It's a tremendous movie. Mel Gibson directed it. He likes to do movies about people who've been very courageous, you know, very brave, you know, and this one came out, and this guy that, you know, it's a true story. His name was Desmond Doss. You know, I never heard of him before this movie came out. But Desmond Doss, this happened during World War II. You know, he was a Seventh-day Adventist. You know, he really, from what I've seen is he really loved God. He was a Seventh-day Adventist, and they don't believe that you should kill. And, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. They interpret it, never, ever kill. And then, but what happened was he wanted to go into the Army, and he wanted to serve as a combat medic. And so he had a hard time getting in the Army because, you know, they want people in the Army that kill people. You know, that's their job, right? But he just wanted to go in and serve as a combat medic. And he had to fight to get in the Army. And he finally got in the Army. And then he got shipped off to Okinawa. Most of you know the story. But while he was there, they got in this horrific battle. And, you know, they had to climb up this huge cliff and, you know, do all this fighting, and they got run off. And but he was the last one to go over, and he did not go over the ridge back down because there was a bunch of wounded people out there. So, you know, if you've seen the movie, you know what he did. He actually, you know, literally lowered 75 American soldiers, you know, over the ridge and saved their lives. And he exhibited such strength and courage, and he got it from God. You know, he got it from God. And I just thought that is such a great example. You know, when your mind is focused on God and you believe that he is with you and you believe that he will help you, you know, you can accomplish great things. So I thought I'd, since you guys have seen the movie, I think you understand. It's a great example. But let's go back to the Bible, Psalm 23. You know, he was an inspiration to those men. They wanted to have the faith that he had. And he didn't just, he got it because he really was into the scriptures, the word, you know. And he had made it his own. In Psalm 23, this one is so great. What I want you to understand, if you want to get rid of fear in your life, if you have a problem, you need to make this stuff your own. Make it personal to yourself. You can always put the, you know, this is how you do it, all right? Look at Psalm 23:1, okay? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Take that my and put your name in there, you know? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me, yourself, to lie down in green pastures. He leads you, put your name in there, beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we do that every day, you know. Every day that we live, we are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. It says, I will fear no evil. And why will we fear no evil? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I just love that psalm, you know. God's the one who does all the delivering. We just follow him, you know. Let's look at Psalm 56. I love this. I found this when I was reading. Psalm 56, verse 1. This is a psalm of David, and it says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Here's the verse. I want you to memorize this one. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Let's all say that. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's what, how simple it is. It really is. And then verse 4 is great. It says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Look at verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. You got to put it in your brain that God is for you. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Just great positive confessions of God's word. And, you know, that's what we put in our minds. Okay. Let's go to one place in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 32. This is a little bit about what Mary was talking about. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But I love verse 33. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What a great verse. you can dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. That's a great thing, right? All right, now I'm going to jump to the Gospels a little bit. I wish I had a dollar for every time it says in the Gospels to fear not. There's a lot of places in there. You know, the angels are always telling people to fear not. Jesus Christ is always telling people to fear not. But we don't fear because God is with us. We don't fear because we know God loves us. He will supply our need. It's all about God, you know, is really what it is. But I got a couple examples for you. Matthew 10. Every time it tells you to fear not, it gives you a reason to fear not. So in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 29, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father knowing about it? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." And then here's the verse. It says, "Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Isn't that great? God thinks we're valuable. So you got to think of yourself as being valuable, you know. And that's why he wants to take care of us, because we're very valuable to him. He loves us. One more in Luke 12. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Here's another one that I really like that says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We don't need to be fearful. God wants to give us the kingdom, and he will help us. He will help us. Now we're going to look at Acts for a second. In Acts, Mary covered some of this about the day of Pentecost. You know, a whole lot of things changed. You know, they received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what changed all of their lives. You know, I heard John do a great teaching on that. Before the Holy Spirit came, they were very fearful. The apostles were very fearful. But once they received the Holy Spirit, you know, after the day of Pentecost, they became very, very bold, because they had God in Christ in them, and God was working in them. And you know, it's just an incredible thing. In Acts chapter 4, you know, Peter and all these guys, they were on fire for God. They were preaching and teaching. They were healing people. They were just doing great things. And then they got called in by the religious leaders. The very same people that had Jesus Christ crucified were now after them. And, you know, they had seen what they did to Jesus Christ. So this is not an easy situation, not easy. But when they, after they received the Holy Spirit, it says in verse Acts 4:29, it says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, the Holy Spirit was a tremendous aid to them. And like Mary said, prayer, you know, prayer was a big deal. You start getting fearful, it's a good thing to pray, you know, go to God. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. I just want to take 1 minute. Mary already covered this one a little bit, but in light of the renewed mind, it's important that we don't forget, you know, these things I'm telling you, we don't forget that God loves us. You know, we don't forget, you know, what he has done for us. And like I said, the only way to overcome fear is to strengthen your faith. And this is one of the qualities that Timothy had. In we'll just read verse 3. It says, Paul is talking, you know, the word's talking to Timothy. He says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. You know, Paul remembered Timothy, didn't forget him. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You know, Timothy was very blessed. His grandmother had great faith. His mother had great faith. And Paul was reminding him, you have great faith too. And then he says, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is given thee by the putting on of my hands. You know, we just forget sometimes, don't we? Don't we forget what we have Christ in us? Don't we forget that God loves us, you know, all the time? We forget. You got to keep putting it in your remembrance. And then verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. That's awesome. A couple more verses I have for you. Hebrews 13. I love this when it says, Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation, that means your life, be without covetousness, and be content with things as you have, with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the big part of my teaching. You gotta remember, God will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, it's all in our brain, you know, putting it in your mind. One more place, 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. I love this. It says, no man has seen God at any time. That's why the things of God, you have to renew your mind, you know, because he's not in your face, you know, he's invisible, right? And the only way to know God is to know him by way of his word. So That's why it's renewed mind. You know, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. That's great. You heard the manifestations this morning. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. And then verse 17 is great. It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. It's pretty powerful. God says, as he is, so are we in this world. That should give you some courage, right? And then the verse that sums it up, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So there's no fear in love. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why this Desmond Doss guy did what he did. He had a tremendous love, you know, for his fellow soldiers. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor, the first conscientious objector to ever receive the Medal of Honor. You know, unbelievable. But perfect love does cast out fear, you know. So if you're having a fear issue, try to concentrate on love. You know, that'll help you a lot. So thank you, John.